This podcast features discussions about finance and money, which are general in nature. This means that it has been prepared without taking into account your specific objectives and financial needs. We suggest that before acting on this information, you seek out professional advice. Hi folks, welcome along to another episode of the Money Mechanics podcast where we are unpacking the money stuff. I'm really excited because I've got one of our return guests along, Kylie Wallace from Seedling Giving. Kylie, welcome back. It's fab to have you here and I'm looking forward to our chat today.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to be back. I'm keeping warm here in Melbourne, so I've got my heater going and my blanket on my lap, so I'll be keeping nice and warm for this great interview.
It is definitely getting colder down south this time of year, and as we race towards end of financial year, it's definitely one of those crazy times. Mm. And look, Kylie, we ask all our return guests about a recent happy money memory. You know, we asked you last time about an early happy money memory, but have you got something more recently that you're excited to share or that has happened around money?
Yes, something actually that happened really recently. It was about 2 weeks ago when a girlfriend of mine was saying how she needed to sell her caravan. And she said, I've got this caravan, I need to sell it, and I just don't have the time or the energy to know how to get rid of this thing. And my neighbours keep complaining about it. And anyway, on the side while I'm doing some seedling stuff, sometimes I sell bits and pieces online to make a bit of extra money. And anyway, I said to her, well, I've never sold a caravan before, but I mean, it's the same kind of thing. You take some good pictures and you post things online. And she said, great, okay, well, if you can sell it, I'll give you a share in the profits. And I said, okay, brilliant. So anyway, I came over to her house and we gave the caravan a little bit of extra love and I styled it up, made it look great. And we sold it within 4 days on Facebook Marketplace and I made some quick cash, which was absolutely fantastic. So, and she was thrilled to get rid of it and I was happy to be able to help her. So that was a wonderful way to make a little bit of extra money this time of the year, which, you know, is certainly tough for a lot of people. So any extra money that we can make is a bit of a win. So it was great.
That is so cool. And I love the, your marketing expertise coming into full form there. We might need to get you back for a podcast episode on tidying up your house and how to market stuff that you want to sell on Marketplace, perhaps.
Oh, I could give you lots and lots of tips because she tried to sell a caravan for weeks and weeks and weeks before and gave up on it. So I've got some good tips around, certainly great ways to be able to make some cash. So we'll be more than happy to share those anytime.
Now, your other day job of fundraising and being the chief gardener at Seedling, I guess Seedling's been evolving a little bit over time. So when we first spoke to you and Jess about Seedling and what you were doing and how people can look at starting to give and make that a part of their ongoing cash flow and process. But I guess jumping in, so yeah, what's been happening at Seedling? How's it all been going?
Well, we have been going for, just over 2 years now. So it's been a really exciting and amazing journey. And like all things, you get going doing one thing and then the market sort of starts to lead you and say, this is really where the need is and really helping to, I guess, listen to our clients, listen to the market and help support people around their giving. But largely, I guess, this whole idea came from something that I saw working in the charity and not-for-profit and CSR space. And this big problem around there are 60,000 charities in Australia. That number is growing. We're seeing more and more charities that are being started each year and people just feeling really overwhelmed with choice, not knowing who to trust, which charities are high performing or where does your money end up going. And so largely over the last 2 years, our key focus areas have been around helping to support more of those individuals with a greater capacity to give, so sort of more of those major donations, and then also corporates who are wanting to be able to place a donation and also look at things like partnerships and how they can align with an organization that suits their values and great ways to get their staff involved. So that's kind of been the core area we've been focusing on until now. My dream has always been around how can we get more people in Australia giving. my real passion for this space is to allow everyday people to feel as good as I feel every day working in the charity space and finding that through giving. So that's always been kind of really the heartbeat of why I wanted to start Seedling and what it's been all about. And that's around sort of more of that mass market giving, getting lots of people to give you a little bit as opposed to giving a few people to give you a lot. So totally different kind of approaches and strategies. But when we've now introduced a new element to what we do, which is a platform to allow people to place smaller one-off gifts or sign up and do regular gifts and finding high-performing grassroots charities that align with their passions and interests.
I love that. And I guess before we dive into how that's working and how people can get involved with that, I just had a quick query around, like, with cost of living. So everybody's talking about cost of living. Are we seeing, or are you at Seedling seeing a sort of change in how willing people are to be giving? And I mean, a couple of monthly sort of sponsorships there, and I was reviewing all my expenses the other day, and I'm like, no, I still want to keep those in play. But are we seeing people sort of dialing back some of those areas?
Yeah, obviously it's a really tough time for everyone. And in one way or another, we're all feeling the pinch. There's, I guess, in terms of thinking about giving, a lot of people really find that giving is a way for them to be able to express and stay true to their values. So when we're thinking about ways to be able to cut back and pull back, you know, there are still people out there who are still trying to work out how can they keep the giving as well as, you know, maintaining all of the other expenses and costs in their lives. We are seeing, especially at the larger charity level, a lot of people who are deciding to lower their regular gifts or cancel them altogether. So they certainly are feeling the impacts of that, as well as on the other side of the coin around acquiring new donors. There's a lot less people out there who have the ability to be able to say yes at the moment, or then are also saying, I just can't afford to be able to give, you know, given obviously all of the other things that people have got going on. So I guess at a macro level, we are seeing that giving is still tough. In terms of how much people are giving, we've seen giving still growing. So there are people, those people who are giving are actually giving more, but we're seeing greater cancellations. So that's sort of, I guess, an interesting space. And as more data comes out in the new financial year, we'll be able to get a new pulse check of kind of what that's looking like. But we know Australians are really generous. It is part of who we are, that we see giving and giving back as and when we've got capacity to be able to do so as an important part of our values. So yeah, it's been a tough time. For us at Seedling, it's really unique because people come to us when they're interested to be able to give and find a high performing charity to give to. So I guess we don't necessarily see the same things as what most charities see, because of those 60,000 charities that are out there, they're kind of promoting their brands and going out and asking for more donations, whereas we're the place people come to as and when they're ready to be able to start making an impact. So yeah, we see it, I guess, in a different way.
Yeah, definitely. And Kyla, just interestingly, like, are people changing how they are giving as well? So I guess with more in the media around cost of living pressures and people doing it like in a tough way at the moment, are you seeing that charities that probably provide services to people around supporting cost of living, or OzHarvest and other charities that are helping with food and sort of the basic cost day to day, are they seeing an increase? Are we seeing that people's sort of focus and values, those who are donating and have that capacity, are moving to more of those areas?
That's a really interesting one. I think that, yeah, naturally people start to see what's going on in the world around them and how they can specifically help around issues that are really present and in the media right now. So, you know, whether it's in the international aid and development space and what's been happening in Ukraine that people are wanting to be able to support, or whether it's locally here at home around food shelters, or then, you know, also most recently around domestic violence and people becoming more aware of these types of issues and then wanting to be able to do something to support those causes, which is great. The challenge with that is that people can become really overwhelmed with the problems in the world. And then they actually don't really know what they can do to solve all of these really big problems. What ends up happening then is people can then just decide to go, I don't know where to start, so I'm not going to give it all. And what we actually try and encourage people to do is say, what is it that's really important to you? We try and hold space to go shut out that noise and all of those problems. What's really important to you? And what's an area that you would like to be able to support? And think about supporting for, say, 3 to 5 years, giving it a really good crack of being able to support something that's close to you, your values, what's important to your family, and follow that. Because that's where not only you can get the greatest joy and benefit from giving, but then it's also something that you can follow and track and see your impact over time, rather than kind of going and chasing all of the next new things. So that's what we try and encourage people to do, rather than just jumping onto, I guess, what it is right now, because sometimes what it is right now is really just kind of what the media is just focused on. But what we're trying to really think about doing is growing giving and getting more people giving and connected into things that are important to them.
Yeah, no, and I love that. And I think we spoke to that a little bit when we did that first chat with you and Jess. And I think that that values-driven arrangement is so important in to say, hey, what are the things that are always important to you, as opposed to what is what is sort of front of mind in the media news cycle at the moment, and how can you actually help support those areas? So I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
What are you doing with the new platform? How is that working? How can people get involved with that? Is it similar to your process where you're going through that due diligence with people? Because, again, I've experienced that myself, and it is a big process in that the questions you ask and the things that you get people to think about in regards to how they want to create their giving plan. So, yeah, is it a similar sort of framework? I guess hopefully you've got some automation in there that's not just making you have to sit down for everybody's questions. But yeah, how?
That's exactly right. A big one is around automation and being able to help us ultimately reach and support more people who want to be able to give and find high performing charities that align with their interests and passions. So for us, it's a really simple 3-step process. It's always been this as our core process for our clients to be able to go through. So the first step has always been this questionnaire, where we really unpack and explore the kind of causes and the way that somebody wants to be able to make an impact. Where do they want to make an impact? What kind of area? Are they more inspired by breadth or depth? Reaching lots of people, or being able to go deep in an area and around that systems change? Are they more inspired by on-ground action or advocacy and political change? We're really sort of holding space for people to think about the kind of way that they'd like to make an impact. From there, the second step has always been our data analysis and due diligence process. So this is where we go from 60,000 charities and shortlist it down to 3. So with our major donors and our major corporate partners, this process is where the longest time comes in. So we're doing a filtering exercise. We then do a process to evaluate those organizations that are highest performing and those that don't have any red flags. And we do a comprehensive performance assessment in that, where we're looking at over 50 different indicators of a high performing charity. So usually that process can take anywhere between 2 to 3 weeks to go from that 60,000 down to 3 for that particular individual who's wanting to give. This is where it's different for the platform. So rather than going out to that universe every time, we have a pool of charities that people can get matched with, and that process happens instantly. So based on the criteria of that questionnaire, then 3 charities are presented to that individual. So then the third step is this reveal. So we call it the charity reveal, where you get to have 3 charities you get to learn more about. You can watch their video to learn a bit more about them. You can read their due diligence document. So everything that we've reviewed as part of the charity to really understand what they do, where your money is going, and what you can be supporting. So you get to read that. And then with the platform, again, the donation actually happens online on that platform. and it all happens instantly, as opposed to the concierge service or this major donor service, where this process happens over a much longer period of time, usually around sort of 3 to 4 weeks. Then from there, they get access to a dashboard to be able to track your impact over time. This is another thing as well we often hear from our clients is you give a donation to charity and then you never hear about where that donation actually went. So this is where we have a giving dashboard where you can download your tax receipts. We also do ongoing monitoring at the charities that you're giving to. And then we do 6 monthly impact updates that talks about where the money has been going and how it's been making an impact over that time. So you can give to lots of different charities. It's all aggregated together in the one platform. And ultimately, what we're really focused on trying to do is get people giving to these high quality grassroots charities, being able to see where your money is going, making that giving experience a bit easier, a bit safer, and to make people feel really, really good and confident about the organizations that they're giving to.
Yeah, fabulous. I love that. And I think that's what I found was so amazing around the process I went through more on that concierge service, I guess, that you offer, but actually getting connected to the charities and having the charities sort of reach out and also say, hey, great, thank you so much. We really appreciate the donation. And then obviously the follow-up with Jess and yourself around, right, this is the impact that's been made. This is what's actually been done on the ground with those organizations. And yeah, so I think it's just helping people to understand and balance that out a little bit. Have you got any good sort of ideas or suggestions for people, I guess, around that advocacy versus sort of when people are looking at the impact that they want to get involved with? Have you got any sort of thoughts or ways that people can sort of get an understanding of what's important to them?
I think sometimes it actually just takes being able to go through something like our questionnaire to stop and have a think about what it is that they feel like they're more inspired by. There's no wrong answers, but sometimes what it takes is to have that time and space to just have a think about it, even beyond sort of the advocacy versus systems change and breadth and depth, and do I want to support in Australia or internationally or wherever it's most needed? Like, most people just don't know until they've actually stopped to think about it. And then even the cause areas, like what things are most important to me. We have these hero cause areas, and then within the hero cause areas, we have sub cause areas, and most people don't really know. And why I encourage people to just give that questionnaire a go is because it actually makes them learn more about themselves in understanding what it is that makes them feel something. And then from there as well, it sometimes actually just takes for you to see some options before you realize what speaks to your heart. And because you don't necessarily always know until you read something, somebody, you know, takes that veil off your eyes to go, wow, this is something I didn't realize that really spoke to me or resonated with me or something that I really cared about until I learned more about it. I met some of the people through the video or understood more about these problems that are actually happening within this sector or space. So that's why it's really nice to be able to go through this process and to get some options as a reveal to then, you know, I guess, see which way your heart is leading you. And I would say 9 times out of 10, then once you've seen those options, there'll be something, one, or sometimes in some cases, more than one, that then really speak to your heart. And then it's about fantastic following that and giving them a go and going on that journey and getting to learn more about the great work that you're helping to be able to create over time.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And look, as you say, I think with cost of living, if people are sort of cutting back in some areas, but I guess if more people are able to give a little bit, it just means that there's a greater impact that is able to be created overall. And I sort of love the way that you put that in regards to just thinking about sort of the cause areas and things that people are really into, and then actually doing that questionnaire. And I'm believing that questionnaire is just on your website, so I'll add a link to that so people can jump in and have a look at the questions and just see what comes up for them as well, without sort of the obligation of having to donate straight away, but it'll help people to sort of get a bit more of an understanding as well.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, as you say, it's about as and when people can is about even just doing something. If that's something for you this financial year is $50, fantastic. 50 is better than nothing for lots of reasons, in that being able to continue to have that way to express your values. But then it's also about, it's like building a muscle and going to the gym. It's the consistency of doing something, because as soon as you stop, it's very hard to get back. I don't know about you or any of your listeners, but as soon as you cancel a gym membership, it's very, very hard to get back into that routine of doing something. So what I would say is, even if for you it's $20 or $50 this financial year, it's better to be able to do something than nothing. And being able to then over time, if then you're able to consider $20 per month as a regular gift, you've been able to get some secure work, you know that you've been able to do some budgeting and that's important to you for giving and for your family, to be able to sort of show that tradition around giving, brilliant. Yep. So it's then about little sort of steps that you can take to be able to build back up as and when you've got that capacity to be able to do so. So that's what I guess I would encourage people to be able to think about, rather than about necessarily about the dollar amount, but more about the tradition of giving and trying to do what you can to keep that going, because it's very hard to bring back in later on otherwise when people stop altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think that is, it's that consistency and the values exercise. So if you're sitting down reviewing your cash flow, and again, end of financial year is a great time to potentially be adding some extra donations in the mix, because you can then claim those as a tax deduction. And so, sure, you don't, just so people understand, you might spend the $50, you don't get that full $50 back when you lodge a tax return because of the marginal tax system, but you will get a percentage of that back based on your tax rate. And so again, if you can help people out, but also then get some tax benefit in doing that as well, and then, as Kyla says, build yourself a bit of a plan moving forward to exercise that muscle more, and maybe encourage other people to get involved. I mean, I've at times as well, don't know if they truly love it, but with presents for people for birthdays or otherwise, like actually finding something fun to give them as a gift that I know is a values aligned organization or something that they might appreciate, as opposed to more stuff and things that might not necessarily provide a good outcome for the clutter in one's home at the moment. But hey, that might be for your next episode, Kylie, when we get you back to unclutter people's houses and sell stuff on Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace.
And I'll share with you something that might be of interest to people. Maybe you can even pop it into your show notes. We have a calculator which gives you an estimate of how much that you get back from your donation at tax time. So that can be a helpful resource as well if people are wanting to be able to think about what that looks like. Obviously, you're going to be able to get that money back sooner rather than later with end of financial year fast approaching. So that might be something that people want to be able to sort of check out and understand what that could potentially look like as well based on your tax bracket.
Love it. And I do love on the website. So any donations over $2 are tax deductible. So there you go. It could even be $2 to start out with, just to, as you say, get that muscle going. So that's great. But yeah, I'll put the link for that as well in the show notes, Kylie, and we can look at that. But yeah, so it sounds really like a great additional service and offering that's out there to really impact more people. And I think, as you say, being able to have that impact and get more people talking about this stuff is what I'm excited to have you here to do that. So hopefully people have enjoyed some of the conversation. But any other parting words today, Kylie? Anything else we haven't touched on?
Well, I think it's my experience in giving and working in the not-for-profit sector has certainly been a joyful one. And I think, yeah, giving brings so much joy and purpose and meaning into people's lives. And so anything that we can do to help people with that journey, whether it's yourself personally or your family or even with your business, if you're interested to learn more about this space, we've got some great resources on our website. We have a free ebook that you can download, The 12 Things You Must Know Before Donating to Any Charity. Or if you want to have a go at doing some reviews or due diligence into any organizations you're currently giving to, there's some great resources there that you might find helpful as a great way to get started in this space. So, and anything else that we can do to be able to help you, feel free to even reach out to me on LinkedIn. Always happy, and we love talking about this space too. So, yeah, love connecting with new people.
Love it, Collie. And I know you're doing some more stuff in the workplace giving space as well. So that could be exciting for people who might even want to get something ramped up at their own workplace. I know some of the big organizations have got workplace giving involved and set up, but if you're in a smaller organization, that isn't often something that can be done easily because of the resource that's required to do that. So that sounds exciting as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your wonderful support and for, helping to spread the word about what we do. We're a very small organization. We're still really new, and 0.001% of Australians know that a platform and a service like ours exists. So your support in helping to spread the word is so much appreciated. So anyone else who can help share that something like Seedling now exists, it's never been done before, your support in that way is truly appreciated. So a big, big thank you from us as well.
No, look, my absolute pleasure. And we'll shout it from the rooftops for anybody who's willing to listen. So look, hopefully those who are listening, you've enjoyed this conversation. And again, go and check out the amazing resources that were in the show notes as well as on the Seedling Giving website. And Kylie, thanks so much again for your time and the conversation. As I say, if we can get more people talking about this stuff and then taking some action to increase their donations, I think just the ripple effect on that helps create a better world or better social connections and resources. Amazing. So thank you for what you're doing, and we hope you've enjoyed this episode. So yeah, please share it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.